Welcome to Freeform Radio on the Freeform Network. You can follow us on Facebook at Freeform Network, on Twitter at FFR Podcast. And remember to send your questions and suggestions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. Again, this is Freeform Radio. I'm one of your many hosts. We also got Danny.
Yes, sir. Just came out of the rain, man. Oh, man, it's a downpour outside.
We got Noel.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
And then we got it's all good, Andy. We're here. The day of recording today is 9/11, so it's been 20 years now. So don't forget, like they used to say back in the day, and just keep doing what we're doing. And I'm gonna let's lighten up the mood here. I know Noel, our resident MMA expert here. I know there was a big pay per view last night. I saw a lot of advertising for the main event. Break it down for us. What happened in that UFC pay per view?
Man, so this was actually kind of a crazy one, man. Leading up to it, there was like a lot of hype because they were going to have Nate Diaz, who may or may not be related because we're also Diaz in our family, but he's from Stockton, California. He's an OG MMA fighter. He was in The Ultimate Fighter. He won season 5, and he's been on a tear in the UFC for many, many years.
Let me take a guess, Noel, before you tell us, because I didn't watch it. Nate lost. Yeah.
No.
Oh, man.
No, he won. He won great, man.
Yeah. Wow.
The thing is, the controversy leading up to it is that he was supposed to fight. So this is his last fight on the contract. So after this fight, he no longer is obligated to fight for the UFC. He can do whatever he wants. He can go box Jake Paul. He can go do multi-million-dollar contracts for movies or whatever the hell he wants to do. And if he ever wants to come back to the UFC, he has, you know, the open door policy from Dana. But for this last fight, there was like so much lead up to it. They were trying to get him to fight like anybody, pretty much. He was like saying too, he's like, give me anybody, man, I'll fight fucking Francis Ngannou, I don't give a shit. He just wants to get out of the contract already. So they told him, you know, we're gonna get you Khamzat Chimaev. He's a guy from Chechnya, from Russia, and he's a up and coming fighter. He's been on a tear. He's been destroying people. Like literally just decimating everybody he's come across, either by knockout, submission. He just controls and dominates. The most recent fight he had, though, was probably the biggest test he had, and it was a back-and-forth battle. He got the decision win, so it wasn't a finish. But because they were putting Nate against this guy, a lot of people were upset. They're like, how are you going to let Nate go out like that? Like, he did all this, you know, all the wars he's been through for the company, and you're going to give him Khamzat Chimaev, who's a younger, like, I would say maybe not rookie, but he's considered a rookie amongst the, you know, the GOATs and the legends and the people that have been there longer. So it's like MJ versus Kobe. It's like, what are you trying to do here? Like, you know, there's obviously age gap. There's obviously, you know, experience gap. So anyway, to the lead up of the pay-per-view, there was a lot of controversy and there was a lot of fighting backstage, like a lot of little scuffles and shit like that. People throwing water bottles and talking shit, and it was like a lot of shit went down in the back to the point where they didn't even have the press conference. And it was, you know, pretty disappointing for the fans because we wanted to see that, you know, trash talk on the grand stage that they always do. But then the next day after that, they had the weigh-ins, and Khamzat Chimaev, who was supposed to go in at 171 as the weight limit, Nate Diaz made weight at 171. Khamzat missed weight by 7.5 pounds. He's like, it's 178.5. So everyone was just like, what the fuck? Like, and it looked like he didn't even care. When he went up to the scales, he had a smile on his face. He's like, it's not that bad. It's like, motherfucker, you're a professional. You're like, 7.5 pounds is bad. Like, that's horrible. That's almost the next weight class.
Right.
And Diaz is already going up in weight. He normally fights at 155. So for him to fight at 170 to appease Khamzat, who, you know, isn't like a natural 170, 185er, it was already a challenge for Nate. And now on top of that, he has to fight a heavier guy. So the UFC did what they do best, and they try to find workarounds. And what they did is, it's unheard of, man. This is the first time they've ever done it. Three different opponents, or six different fighters, did six different opponents. So imagine there's three different fights, two fighters each, obviously. Each one of them shifted around. So it was like a shift, really? To the right. Ooh. Yeah. So everybody had a different fighter, and Tony Ferguson ended up fighting Nate Diaz yesterday in the main event. It went to the fourth round, and officially 2 minutes and 9 seconds, the zip code where Nate Diaz is from, he got the submission win by guillotine choke. So, he won his last fight on the UFC contract, and Khamzat ended up fighting a guy named Kevin Holland, who prior to the fight, there was a lot of trash talk back behind the stage. There was a lot of controversy and stuff going on with that. So a lot of people were excited for that fight. Unfortunately, I already knew how it was going to go. Kevin Holland, he's gotten better at wrestling, but Khamzat, that's his bread and butter. That's what Russians do. They wrestle. That's what they do a lot of. And his wrestling is some of the greatest, I think, in the world, man, like I've ever seen. This guy came out there, and, you know, when you weigh in, generally, when you go to fight, you're going to weigh in like another 10, 15 pounds. So if they weighed in at 180, generally, they're probably going to actually fight on the actual fight night. They're probably going to actually fight at like 190, 195.
Right, because they're going to carb up like that. Exactly. Because it's the weigh in the days before.
Exactly. So they were probably both around like almost 200 pounds. And Khamzat made him look like a baby, bro. He was like throwing him around, flipping him over and shit. I was like, what the fuck? And to Kevin Holland's credit, man, like he tried his best to get out of the hold. And unfortunately, he got him in a darce choke. It's kind of a weird choke that, like, it's kind of hard to explain, to be honest, but you'd have to see it. You know, you have to look at a clip, but he got him in this weird choke, and it sunk in harder after Kevin Holland tried to get out of it. Yeah, he ended up getting out of it for like a second, and then he sunk it in harder the second time, and that's when, it, you know, he had a tap, and otherwise, you know, you'd go to sleep. So he ended up losing that fight. Ultimately, though, the pay-per-view was a success. I think they got like over $5 million at the ticket sales. And who knows how much pay-per-view buys. We'll find that out later. But, yeah, that's the recap.
They had a $5 million house?
Yeah.
Where was this at, in Vegas?
I believe so, Las Vegas. It was about almost 20,000 sales of tickets. The gate was like 5.76 million. Yeah, so, I mean, Nate Diaz is a huge draw, man. He's the first one to choke out McGregor. And in the second fight, arguably, he won, but he lost decision to McGregor. So they're thinking about a trilogy fight with Conor McGregor in the future. Should Nate return, which I think he will eventually. I think he's going to go try to make some millions on Jake Paul or boxing. Or he's actually starting his own promotion as well. So he's got things on the horizon, but I think a lot of people are eager to see that trilogy fight happen.
Did you see Conor recently posted something on Instagram? He's on a boat getting like a BJ or something.
Dude, I heard about that. That was pretty messed up.
He took it down immediately, but you know, on the internet, somebody always is hitting record or something. You know, and I was like, holy shit. Yeah, so I think McGregor won this round.
Well, cocaine's a hell of a drug, man. That's all I can say, dude. And when you got money and you got a yacht, yeah, you're gonna do some weird shit.
Yeah.
But, do you think Nate Diaz is gonna re-sign with the UFC? What are some of the other like major companies that he can go to?
So there's Bellator, there's ONE FC. Those are the main two, I would say, competitors right now. But I honestly don't see him signing with them. He knows that the best fighters in the world are in the UFC. He knows the best money he could probably make is in the UFC. Because if he was like a lower level fighter, then yeah, you know, you want to explore your options. But he's already a veteran. He's been in the UFC. That's where he made his name. He actually didn't really fight for any other promotion that I know of, that to the extent of what he did with the UFC. So I have a good feeling that he's going to come back eventually. He's 37 years old, so I figure maybe a year or two doing other stuff, and then he'll come back maybe for the last few fights of his career, maybe retire when he's 40. But this guy's doing triathlons, man. This guy has insane cardio. He makes like 40 years old look like 20. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, I wish him the best. A lot of people are you know, rooting for him and behind him 100%. So we'll see.
Cool, yeah, cool, man. Is this the real major pothead, or is it the brother? Or
so, yeah, the Diaz brothers. Yeah, they're 420 every day, man, all day. So yeah, they're known for that. I think they might even have their own strain. or like they for sure right. sell CBD and stuff like that.
That's why I thought he was going to lose. I'm like, this guy, he's done already. He's just here for a paycheck and he's just going to mail it in. But good to hear he's still got some skills out there.
Ah, for sure, man. He's talented, man. It's just he's always the guy that is underrated, or what is it called? The underdog. But he always shows up. He never takes the easy way out. He always shows up. He's only been stopped once. He got a head kick and he got knocked out. That was like years ago. It was like 10 years ago. Ever since then, he hasn't been finished. With the exception of George Masvidal. I don't know if you remember the BMF belt that was Dwayne Johnson was presenting it. I don't know if you guys remember about this.
Yeah, it does sound kind of familiar. Yeah, it sounds familiar.
So George Masvidal and Nate Diaz fought, and George Masvidal cut open Nate Diaz, like, it's like above his eye. He got a pretty bad cut, and the doctor stopped it pretty much. But Nate Diaz was ready to go, so technically I don't consider that him being finished. But anyway, yeah, we'll see what happens with him, man. I'm excited to see what he's going to do. I'm pretty sure he's going to go to boxing. He's always talking about, you know, doing things better than everybody else. And he's like talking about Conor McGregor, how he lost to Floyd Mayweather. He's like, I'm going to show you how it's done. So maybe he's going to go out there and fight Jake Paul or someone else, you know.
Wasn't Paul fighting Silva? That, like, I think that's official now, right? There was like, yeah. this thing going on back and forth. And like,
yeah, yeah.
The more I think about the Paul fights and all that, I'm starting to think they're like fixed or something.
You know, I can't say if they're fixed or not, man. I don't really know. No, I will say Jake Paul does have legitimate skill, so I'm not gonna like disrespect him like that. He does have legitimate skill. Does he have legitimate skill to beat Anderson Silva? Honestly, don't think so. I think he's gonna get destroyed. But we'll see. You know, that's the whole exciting thing is that most of the time he was the heavier guy because the weight limit's 200 currently, to my knowledge. And Anderson Silva is already normally a 190, 200-pound fighter. So this time he's not going to be able to bully him. Anderson Silva's tall. He's lanky. He's strong. He's been boxing, he's probably been in, you know, professional sports. So that's going to be an interesting one, dude, for sure.
Yeah, that's what I said. Like, I watched some of his last fights and then, like, think the WWE stuff. And then, but the last one, I don't know, man. That one felt kind of like, not fixed, but like I don't know what else to call him, man. I just like they're
it's choreographed. He's fighting people that aren't older, boxers.
Yeah, and they're not boxers, so they're coming into what he's been training for. I'm not doubting that, you know, he's a boxer, but isn't he like an elite fucking boxer? No, but he's fighting MMA people that are like older or it's just different, man. And then you're telling them to box, and like Mayweather, and he's fought them both, McGregor McGregor fought Mayweather and so is Paul. And like, this guy's like an elite fucking right boxer. And then like, he's like,
well, that's a
he hanged model. Around with them.
That's Logan.
Yeah.
Logan fought Mayweather. Yeah, yeah. Jake Paul's he's like arguably a bigger fighter.
Who's the one that comes out with the Pokemon card? Los dos?
Ah, man, I don't know too much about these guys. The Pokemon stuff, that's a little bit more inside info. I don't.
And one comes with a Pokemon card around his neck in every match. That's the only guy I've ever seen. So. I'm starting to think they're fixed. I mean, I don't know. Or choreographed, I should say.
I don't know if they're fixed, but I know there are stipulations and stuff. I know the guys he fought is like he fought Tyron Woodley, he fought Ben Askren, and he got knockouts in both of those. And those guys aren't boxers, you know, and they're smaller. They're not that big.
And I think they call them exhibitions, right? They don't even call them like professional boxing or whatever the fuck. I think they just call them exhibitions.
Actually, I think those were legit fights, but I'd have to double check on that. But I think those were legit professional fights, not exhibitions. Okay. The one that was an exhibition, I think, was Anderson Silva versus Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. I think that was an exhibition.
Wait, they fought. I didn't know that one.
Oh, Anderson Silva dominated that fight, dude. He made Chavez look like an amateur, bro. It was crazy. That's why. And then Anderson Silva knocked out Tito Ortiz, and he knocked out some other fighter recently in boxing. So I'm like, Jake Paul better fucking bring it, dude, because he's gonna get fucking knocked out if he doesn't. And Anderson Silva is not a joke. He's not an easy fight. In terms of boxing, his skill was always there. It was in MMA that he hurt his leg. And so ever since that leg break, he was, you know, kind of scared. Not scared, but he was hesitant to throw a kick. But this is boxing. He doesn't need to throw kicks. He doesn't have to worry about his leg. Right. He's going to come out there ready to rumble, man. So I'm excited to see that. And just to switch gears, one thing I wanted to share real quick. I saw the Thor Love and Thunder finally. That came out a little bit ago, but I finally got a chance to see it. And I just wanted to give my quick 60-second review. So this is exactly what I thought it was going to be, typical Marvel movie where it's, you know, pushing up one gender over another. Not that it's, like, mainly focused on that, but it is a part of it. It's something that's been recurring in movies, their movies recently in Phase 4. You know, I've already gotten used to it. It is what it is. One thing I didn't like that I really think they should have changed was the comedy aspect. I don't mind comedy in the Marvel movies when it's done with, you know, tact, when it's done, you know, sporadically, when it gets you by surprise. But when you're expecting it, like it's a fucking, like it's an episode of Friends, it's like, it really takes away from the seriousness of what the movies used to be. The movies used to be where superheroes seem real, where the superheroes seem like they were brought to life. And in this aspect, it seems like it's more fake than ever. It's more funny than ever. It's more cash grabby than ever. They use a lot of popular songs to kind of entice you, to kind of get you like, oh, I remember this song, and you kind of like get amped up. But then it falls away. All that tension, all that emotional buildup just gets dumped in the trash with a little stupid joke, little throwaway joke here and there. So I would give it probably a 6 out of 10. The best part of it was probably the dramatic scenes that they had. They had a couple scenes with Thor and Jane Foster, who was considered the Mighty Thor. That's where her title is. There was some dramatic scenes between them, and especially Christian Bale. Christian Bale did a great job. I really dug his character as Gore. I think they fucked up on his face, though, because they didn't make him look like the original Gore. The original Gore kind of looks more like that guy from Harry Potter. What's his name? Yeah, I can't remember his name. But Voldemort. Yeah, he looked like Voldemort, Gore does. And so, unfortunately, they didn't make him look like that. Yeah, but Christian Bale, he did a good job in terms of the acting. He just didn't look the part exactly how I expected it. But yeah, that's pretty much the summary of that movie. I wouldn't recommend it necessarily, but if you get a chance to watch it, you know, you might like it.
Did you get a chance to? I know I kind of briefly mentioned it to you yesterday, but did you get a chance to watch that Quantum Leap trailer? I finally saw it this morning.
And oh man, I haven't yet.
It's just like I told you. For all you guys that don't remember Quantum Leap, it was a quantum physicist. He breaks the barrier, and the whole TV show premise was that he goes into the past and tries to help these people, and then he brings like his sidekick, like this this friend of his, another guy, the older gentleman, and both of them kind of try to correct mistakes in the past. Well, they're rebooting that thing. I think it's ABC or NBC, the ones that are doing it.
It's NBC.
NBC.
Who's pushing it on Peacock?
That's right. It is on Peacock. And the main character now is an Asian character, which not bad. I saw him on the trailer. He kind of fits the role. But the new sidekick, it's not an older guy, you know, with wisdom or kind of sidekicky kind of guy. It's some chick. And now she's like the love interest for the main character. So
for Asian Jim.
So it's going to be different. It's going to be a different show, which I guess, but if you're just going to make this different show, then that's fine to me. It's like, make a different show, but don't call it Quantum Leap. I mean, make it where it's, you know, called something else, you know, Slingshot to the Past, or give it a new show, but don't call it Quantum Leap if you're not going to stay faithful to the stuff, man. That's my two cents.
Giving some Scott Bakula love, and
hey, man,
he just passed away with the fucking the little calculator or gadget.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he was great in Enterprise too, man. Bakula, yeah, he's good, man.
I actually liked Enterprise. A lot of people slept in that one, but that was a good show.
Yeah, I liked it too, man.
I wonder how it'll be. The new Quantum Leap. I'm curious.
I
saw
it. They were pushing it. I was watching football yesterday, and they were pushing it. And then I was watching some stuff on Peacock, and they just kept fucking like, Quantum Leap, check out the teaser. And then it just saw like he's looking into a mirror, and he's like in a rock band or something. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, like I never really was big a Quantum Leap guy. I mean, I watched a couple of episodes, but I know people really dug it. I never got into it.
But yeah, Noel, I'll take the baton from you, man. I'll jump into my week here. But real quick, Andy, man, when you mentioned September 11th, until this morning, I totally forgot about it. The only reason I remembered, and I apologize, but the NFL reminded me, because supposedly before every game, they're going to have like a moment of silence to kind of kick off the first Sunday NFL season. So, yeah, man, it's definitely something where it's been so long since that it's easy to forget. But yeah, you're right, man. We should definitely keep that always in the forefront and remember that.
And I'm a Patriot. I'm never going to forget, man.
good, man. At least we got you, man. Are you going to – do you remember what happened this day in 2016? Hi, Andy. Mr. I Don't Forget Nothing.
Man, it's an important event that changed America. I don't know what happened in 2016.
In 2016, man, we went to that Notre Dame game. Oh, September 11, 2016. I got it popped up in my feed too, from the Notre Dame visit that we did.
Yes. That was, and I remember because we won big time. But yeah.
Did you guys win yesterday? Because I heard people slamming on the.
Man, it was fucking brutal. I don't. Well, we'll get into the details, but football season's on here in Chicago and in South Bend is gonna be kind of fucking rough this year.
But yeah, man, as for me, man, I haven't really been doing anything lately, kind of just been vegging out, decompressing from the wedding stuff. So yeah, just watched a few TV, Uncharted. Not sure if you guys are familiar with the game. It's a PlayStation IP that they made a movie for with the Spider-Man character. What the hell's his name?
Tom Holland.
And man, the movie is actually pretty good, man. I don't know if these guys have had a chance to watch it or even were aware that he was in a movie for Uncharted.
I mean, I knew of it, and then I just knew Marky Mark was in it with him, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, yeah. I'm a fan of Tom Holland, but it's a different casting than I was expecting.
Yeah, a lot of people were kind of down on the Marky Mark thing. And, you know, to be honest, after the movie was over, I kind of settled into where it's not that bad with him being Sully. But I know a lot of people were kind of sour on that. And to be honest, I think you could have found a better character to play Sully. But at the very end, like I mentioned, there was a scene that kind of gave me like, all right, cool, man. I forgive you guys. It's cool, man. Let's do this. Marky Mark is Sully. And that's just what it is. But it was a really cool movie, really faithful to a lot of scenes from part two of Uncharted the game, and even some part three stuff from Uncharted the game that they tapped into the movie. And it did really good on the box office. And word is that they're working on Uncharted 2 now for the movie.
So what role, what player? So Marky Mark's playing the lead character from like the video game. So what's Spider-Man playing? He's like, is that a role that was in the video game or
no? It's the Spider-Man up. Character is the main character.
Okay.
He's the main protagonist, and Marky Mark is the mentor to him. And in the video game, there's a big age gap. It's like where the Spider-Man character is like in his teens, and the Marky Mark is like in his early 30s kind of thing. So there was an age difference that kind of gave him that old man mentor kind of vibe in the video games. And so in the movie, it's kind of different, you know, because not that they're both in the same age category, but Marky Mark doesn't look old. He still looks youngish. And maybe it's because he's fit.
Yeah,
I know he is old, but I'm saying that he doesn't look old. So they didn't age him up where like they put gray hair on him or anything like that. So he still looks like he's in his 30s. And then you got this Spider-Man character, which he looks like in his maybe late 20s. So the age gap is a little less. So I think that's why some people were hating. But the movie was cool, man. I think if you go in with the expectations of it's a action flick, then I think most people will be kind of cool with it. And the video game ended just recently, or at least as far as Naughty Dog is concerned, the developer of the video game. But man, there's a lot of cool stuff that they can pull out of the video game. So it's really exciting to see what they do next with that movie, because part two definitely is coming due to the box office success that they had.
Yeah, where's that streaming? I saw commercials or advertising. It's streaming on
Netflix.
Is it Netflix?
Yeah.
I saw some advertising for it because there's a lot of big movies right now and a lot of the streamings. Like Jurassic, the new Jurassic Park's on Peacock, and then I remember seeing that Netflix. Hulu has a couple like big end movies, even Paramount Plus. They got a couple big time movies in there, and I'm like, I can't even keep up with some of this shit no more. So, but I knew it was legally streaming on one of the subscription platforms.
Right. So, super cool, man. I enjoyed it. I recommend it for people out there. Even if you're not a video game guy, I think you'll enjoy the movie. It's a good movie, regardless of its video game ties. Something else concerning video games is I actually got mentioned in a podcast, a video game podcast, not too long ago. I know people get excited when they're mentioned on our podcast, Andy, but this is me getting mentioned on somebody else's.
Did they mention me?
No, they did not mention you. But I had wrote into a podcast that I listened to. It's a PlayStation podcast, and it's called Sacred Symbols. And they've been around for a few years, and I've listened to them from the start, and I really enjoy it. And I just like was like, what the hell, man? Let me try to write in. What are the chances that they're going to read my question and you know, shout me out on the episode? But yeah, sure enough, man, it was in the very next episode. They read my question. They mentioned my name, and then they talked about what I had questioned. And I got a super big pop out of it, especially because I was driving home from work when it happened. And as I was driving, I just heard my name mentioned and the question. And I was just like, holy shit, they're mentioning me on the show. And it was just a super big pop. I imagine it's how people feel when they get, you know, shout it out on our show, but it felt cool to hear your name on somebody else's.
That where like the guy was like, oh, let me read a letter, a fan letter.
Right. Well, the main person on the show is Colin Moriarty, and he's a real stickler about a lot of things. He's got kind of some like OCD tendencies, and one of them is game clocks. He likes to be able to look at the pause screen or the video game like summary screen and be able to see an accurate representation of how much time he's played. And sometimes what he means by that is that clocks will keep running even if you pause it. So if you pause the game, it'll still keep counting. And he doesn't like those kind of games. He likes a game that as soon as you pause or you go to the main menu screen and you're going to go make yourself a pizza and then you come back and continue playing. He likes it where games stop counting as soon as you hit that pause screen or you leave, and then it starts again as soon as you come back. But some games don't do that. Some games, as long as you have it on, that clock just keeps running. And even if you leave it running overnight, it keeps running and keeps counting your time.
Yeah, interesting you bring that up then, because I mean, older games, I remember being a clock, and even when I don't game as much as you guys do, but even when I do play newer games, I don't see no fucking time clock. I thought it was something like relegated to like arcade and like 8-bit games and even like 16-bit games on the home consoles. I don't, What games has clock? I don't. When I play Call of Duties, I don't recall seeing a clock when I'm playing those.
Every game has a clock that keeps track of how much you're playing. I agree with you. I don't think it's on the forefront for you to see it there. Like, here's in your face. You've been playing this for 62 hours, you loser. Get off the computer and go do something else.
Man, I don't think PlayStation ever called me a loser, man.
So I think that's why maybe it's not on your face. But some people like to see that. I forgot what game I was talking about last week where I brought up how many hours I was playing. Some people don't like to see that because then it just really makes you feel kind of shitty. Like, man, I spent 24 hours playing this game. Man, what the hell's wrong with me? And some people have that remorse when they see it. But
do you have that remorse?
Not so much. To me, it actually see it as like I kind of gauge it as to the content that's in the game and then how much I enjoyed it that I played it for so long. Right. And even some games that don't have a lot of content, if my game clock is pretty high, I'm like, wow, even with the little content that's in here, I really took it to the max and I did everything that I could with it. But that was my question. My question was because I wasn't really certain what he was. You know, just like how I described it, I wasn't certain of what that was. So my question to him is like, what do you consider a good game clock? And he went into that whole diatribe of what I kind of mentioned. But yeah, man, it was cool to hear my name and then the city and then the question and then they went into it. And it was just really cool, man. It's really fulfilling when you're a fan of a certain art or a certain whatever music and thing, and then you kind of see a connection to yourself with it, however minor it is, because this guy probably doesn't remember me ever again. Even though actually shortly after that, I was having a problem with my Patreon, because I also support him through Patreon. I give him $1 a month. Damn. And I was having some issues, because with that, you're supposed to get like this certain access before everybody else. And I was having a problem, and I DM'd whoever I figured was controlling, whoever manages the account. I'm like, hey, having an issue, can't download the episode that popped yesterday. It popped for a second. I went to download it, and it disappeared, and it's not coming back. And Colin responded. He responded, hey, we heard about this issue. Try doing this, this, and this, and this should help you out. And then, yeah, I tried it, and sure enough, it fixed. And I'm like, man, this guy is actually even answering the DMs of his own podcast. And, you know, I don't want to make him seem like he's a bigger star than he is. He's no, you know, Conor McGregor or nothing like that answering my
getting blowjobs on Yahoo.
Yeah, yeah. He's not that level, but he's definitely the highest podcast video game out there. So it's something where I'm like, man, this guy's pretty big in my circle being a video gamer. So, really cool. You, dude. Yeah, really cool. You,
man. That's really awesome that he gave you that shout out, man. And I hear you on the clock thing too. I agree, man. The whole, like, on Steam, there's a clock that it tells you how long you've been playing each game, and
right,
it'll actually organize it by the game you played the most and to the game you played the least. And it's kind of cool seeing all that. And I hear you. Some people might think it's too much time or whatever, but imagine if life was like that. Like, how much time have you spent brushing your teeth? How much time have you spent watching the same episode of the same show over and over, reruns and shit? Like, I think if in general, like, everyone's going to have that feeling one way or another. But, I mean, it's up to us how we spend our time. So no one should really judge anybody else.
No, yeah. Like, when you get those on the new phones, the screen time and the fucking phones, and you see that.
All right.
You're like, fuck. But going back, so having that interaction with that podcast host, and does that encourage you to email him more or other people you listen to, or it's like a one time thing, or initiating like, well, or he inspired you so much, you're like, I gotta fucking bring this up or something? Is that like a one time thing, or you think you're gonna do it more?
I'm thinking this is probably gonna be it. Because I'd be kind of scared if I sent him another one and he doesn't answer it. Would I be like, man, this guy, he saw my name because it was something unique. He never saw Daniel Corral sent him a message. So he kind of popped it for that. Or was it that it was so insightful that he's just like, all right, let me put this into the show. So I'd be kind of worried of not getting picked again. To be honest, I probably won't send unless it's a really good question, which I've had a few doozies since then. But it's like those things, like at the moment you think about it, but you're driving or whatever's happening and I can't write it down. So by the time I get home, I'm just like, shit, I forgot what the hell I was even thinking about.
Right. No, absolutely. It's well, it's interesting that you took the time to send that. I mean, it's a cool thing, especially when it's the interaction is positive with, like you said, not famous people, but anybody that you like, listen to, even a personality or a celebrity, and it's a good interaction. It's very encouraging. So, because I've had bad experiences with meeting some celebrities at conventions and stuff, and then to me, it kind of soured what they portrayed on the show to like real life. It was just it turns you off.
For sure, for sure. So, Sergio, you're listening out there. Shout out, man. Thanks a lot, man. But let's jump over to Andy, man. Andy, fill us in on your week, man. I see your eyes are keen on the governor's election coming up here in Illinois. I know a lot of people are. All those signs are out on the yards. People are starting to take sides. So fill us in on your thoughts, man.
No, I mean, that's why I'm bringing it up. It wasn't really on my mind until I was watching some college football yesterday, and there was an interesting commercial. I don't know who ran it, but like a week or two ago, there was this big thing in Chicago and the North Side, which is generally like low crime, really good part of Chicago. And that woman got assaulted by four people, and it was caught on a Ring video. I don't know if you heard about that.
No, it doesn't sound familiar.
So she was just walking like on her block. Two guys pop out of nowhere. They just start like beating her up, and two other guys pop up, and she's like yelling like "Help me" and stuff. And they're just basically they're mugging her and robbing whatever of anything of value that she had. And I was like, man, it's like it's not getting better, but. Whatever. And then yesterday I'm watching football, and then there's a commercial. I'm guessing it's for the governor. It was weird. It was just, I saw that Ring video and it just says, "Pritzker, Lightfoot, have you had enough?" And that's how it ends. And I'm just like, I don't see the little like paid for by anything. I was just like, what the fuck did I just see? And then I tried researching it last night and this morning. I can't find that commercial anywhere on the internet. Wow. And I was just like, fuck. So it got me into looking into, I'm guessing it's for the governor race. I think Pritzker got it. The guy running against him, Bailey, he's a little too much for Chicagoland. I was just like, man. So like I started researching him, and I know a lot about Pritzker, and I'm just like, man, this shit sucks. And then that led to me, like, people got to get more informed, because they enacted some new laws on the criminal side, like the court systems and your due process. So now there's a lot of
takes an effect in 2013.
2023.
The effectivity, it already passed, but in January 1st, 2023 is when those take effect.
Yes, it passed the legislative thing, and then now it's going to start being enforced or enacted in 2023. And one of them is the bail thing. So if you commit a crime, there's going to be no more cash bonds. So basically you get arrested, you do your thing, and then they just let you go.
Exactly.
And that's kind of like, I was like, whoa, this is like fucking, like this is kind of messed up. I mean, and then I saw some articles for it. Like always, it's systemic racism and like all this bullshit. It's like always, it's about money. I just don't know. I don't know. Like that was kind of eye-opening to me. And I mean, there's a bunch of other stuff. I guess if you're like a drunk or some low-level shit, but I guess depending on the crime, but I mean, it's pretty up there. It's pretty it's pretty big, the list that you can get away with stuff. So
yeah, kidnapping, dude. Kidnapping is on the list. If you go kidnap somebody, the police come and arrest you, they take you to court, they book you, they take your information, and they're like, okay, go home.
Yeah, no bonds needed. We'll call you
when the judge is ready to talk to you. And that's it. It's just like that. You could kidnap somebody. And even second degree, if you're suspected for second degree murder, not first degree, but second degree murder, they come in, they take your information. All right, go home. We'll call you back in a month when you're when you got to see the judge. To me, it's ludicrous, man. I don't know what the hell. And it's Illinois-wide, so it affects everybody. It's not just Crook County. It's everybody in Illinois that's affected with this new pass, you know, this new law. And I think it's terrible, man. I get it that some people don't have money to get bailed out. But, hey, man.
That's how it is in California. That's how it is in New York, man. It's a Democratic state, and that's what you get.
Right. I do kind of feel that that's the case, even though I got to give it to Pritzker. He's done a few things that I don't mind and I think is okay. But I feel bad that Cook County has such a stronghold on the state of Illinois that if Cook County really loves something, that that's probably what's going to pass in the state of Illinois. And yeah, this other Bailey guy, he's got no prayer of a chance because Pritzker's got too much of a stronghold on
Cook County. Pritzker and Lightfoot, like, I mean, during the pandemic, I mean, it was just both of those two people on TV, like, fuck the rest of the state, right? And it was all based on just what was going on in that fucking ward or whatever the hell they called it when they divvied it up during the pandemic. But yeah, it's going to be, and I understand why people are leaving the state. And I mean, he's done a couple things, Pritzker, I'm not going to lie, but he's a typical Democrat. He spends a lot and he got that COVID money and he spread it around to the schools and some other stuff. But yeah, overall, this bail reform thing and all that, that's a lot of the Cook County, a lot of the sheriffs came out against it. Because they're afraid that you're letting out, you're going to be letting people roam free while they're awaiting trial, especially on the severity of the trial. I mean, of the charge. I mean, I get it. Like, if you've got money, you could get bail and you could be out in court, but wait till your court date. But I don't know. I mean, it's always like, they claim it affects people of color more, and then they're just basing it off of race and not like legal or not like they're not really thinking about it. What I want to know is what led to this. How many people who got arrested and were waiting for their court date who couldn't make bail and then were found innocent? Or like, is there like some metrics that justify this? Or they're just, they just did it just because of the political climate that we're in, you know?
Yeah, to me, I don't get it, man. I don't get it. It's like if you know you can do bad shit and all they're going to do is take your name down and let you out. The chief of police of Chicago had mentioned this when all those riots were happening where they were looting all of downtown and people were like out crying like, hey, man, when are the cops going to do something? The chief of police went on multiple press conferences and he said, I can't do anything. I arrest these guys. I put them into jail and the DA lets them out. And then I arrest them again the next time, put them in jail. The DA lets them out again. I'm doing my job. He's just like, you need to talk to everybody else behind me. And see why they're not keeping these criminals in jail. And he said that on multiple press conferences, because when all that riot stuff was happening, people were outraged. They're like, we don't feel safe in our homes. Like, people could just walk down the street. They come in a big mob and they'll just come in. And another thing that is part of this deal, Andy, that I don't know if you're aware of, that cops cannot get trespassers out of your residence. If a trespasser comes into your house, the police cannot come and escort them out of your residence. They can't.
Throw them out.
Well, I mean, you have to throw them out, right?
I'll fucking throw them out.
Right, but if you harm them in throwing them out, then they can sue you because then your house insurance has to cover them getting injured escorted out.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, that's so, the system's so fucked up. What judge and what jury would convict you or try find you liable for protecting your livelihood and your fucking property.
That's what the law says. This new law, if you read it, that's in certain words, that's what it says.
But that's what I'm saying. That when you go to court, that's how. If they convict you of that shit, then like, yeah, then it's completely fucked up. Or you found liable, it's completely fucked up, because, you know, you got the right to protect yourself and your property. I don't give a where the fuck. It's been like it's ingrained in the American history since like day fucking one. From like people always protecting their property and their houses and their land. I mean, if you throw them out or whatever the fuck, or you fucking beat the shit out of them, I mean, he came into my house. I don't want him here. Like, that's why with all these cameras and shit being inside our homes, like, it's weird, but you find all this shit, like, if you read it, you wouldn't believe it, you know? It's just, it's fucking crazy.
I guess the only real recourse, or the only thing you could really do is that if somebody trespasses, if you have a weapon to defend yourself, and if they try to sue you, will you say, oh, well, they were threatening to hurt me?
Well, that's so what I'm just saying.
Defending myself,
like,
you know?
It's like everything. I'm fucking afraid of my life. Like, this guy's in my home, and I don't know who the fuck he is.
Yeah.
He's like, man, he's trying to take my manhood, you know?
At a certain point, it has to change from trespassing to threat of bodily harm, right? At a certain point.
Well, that's how I feel. Like, oh, you're going to do this, then you go to court, and then if you fucking lose that, then the system is kind of fucked up, where the person's right to defend themselves and their property is out of skew, and someone who broke into the house was not supposed to be in there, and they win money, then you got to see shit's fucking backwards, man. Like, any person with common sense and moral judgment knows that's like, the fuck. And people who say, like, oh, it's just your house, they have no idea what the fuck they're talking about, because they don't own anything. Like, the whole point of it here is to own your own shit, take care of your shit. You work hard to get your stuff, and nobody can take it from you, unless you're the government, but that's a whole other story.
You know, I'm curious to see what the wealthy people of Illinois think about it, because if anybody, they're probably going to be negatively impacted by that the most. If you think about who's going to be trespassing on some property, it's probably going to be the heavy targets, like the wealthy people. I was hearing this YouTuber talk about prepping. Like, if shit hits the fan and the world's going to shit and people are trying to, like, loot and rob and pillage or whatever, who are they going to go to? They're going to go to the mansions. They're going to go to the people that are rich, that have more.
Yeah.
So they're like, if shit hits the fan, you're going to want to be far away from the mansion type people. You're going to want to be with the people that know how to survive off the land. So,
those people, they don't give a fuck about, they'll probably be long and gone and be in their bunkers or whatever the fuck that you read about now that they're all fucking buying. And like,
I heard about that.
Yeah, it's just, it's crazy. Like, that's why I said, like, it always impacts middle class people, people who have a little bit. That's the people who get fucked when all this shit hits the fan. And like Danny's talking about, like, oh, you can't, the cops can't throw them out. Well, fuck it, I don't need you, I'll throw them on fucking cell phone. And then, like, then, well, you're liable. And then I'm like, for what? For protecting,
just hopefully it's one guy,
your fucking house. Then that's when you gotta start blasting, man. Yeah, you gotta, like, in Florida, stand your ground.
Yeah, but we might have to go to a red state.
Northern Chicagoland area is a little bit more blue, but the farther you get away from the city, the more shit people understand, like, self-protection and, you know, taking care of what's yours, you know?
For sure.
But going forward, the other thing that's going to be brutal real quick is it's going to be this football season. With Chicago, and Danny kind of mentioned earlier yesterday, Notre Dame played and they lost somebody they should have destroyed. And the Bears, they played today, their first game, and I'm not expecting much from them. And my the Notre Dame season, I think it's over. They're 0-2, and it's going to be a long fucking football season, both college and professional. I mean, at best case with the Bears, I mean, I think if they go 500 – I mean, that's a good year for them.
Who are they facing today?
They're playing the 49ers. I think it's going to rain all afternoon, so that might help out the Bears, but I don't know how they're, I'm going to trust their run game that much.
The 49ers, how are they in terms of skill right now?
I think they're better than the Bears, to be honest with you.
Because weren't they playing in the playoffs recently?
They were playing, they went to the Super Bowl a couple years back, and
yeah,
I think their D's pretty good. Their offense is pretty good, too, so let's see what happens. They're in a tough division. I think they can score points. The problem with the Bears, since I've been fucking alive, is they can't score points, right? The D might hold them for a quarter or two, but eventually the floodgates open, and then the D is not going to be able, or the offense is not going to be able to score.
Well, Andy, I'm kind of hopeful that with it being a new regime, that we'll have that early people don't know what we're really going to do kind of vibe, and we'll get an easy, not an easy win, but a win today. But then once people figure out this offense and defense, then we'll see if they're any good. But I got a feeling that we're going to get those first day win with the new characters that are in town. So we'll see if they're any good after today.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's a new regime in there. I mean, they were cutting people on Friday that these were veterans. They released or cut, and they signed other people, and then these were people on the defense side. And I was just like, man, I don't even know what the fuck that means. They're making changes, roster changes, up to the very last minute, and I was just like, man, this is not good, you know? They're not, like, even practice squad signs. These are guys to make the roster, and to me, that was like, oof. And then, like, I know they went undefeated in the preseason. I don't know. I mean, to me, I was just like, yeah, I don't care. It's preseason, right? Like, you just want them to run what they're supposed to do. But it's going to be a long season. I'll keep you everybody up to date. Let us know what you guys think. College football with the governor's rate, ffnquestions@gmail.com. We promise to be nice. And hopefully, you know, you could get have a good experience with us as Danny had with his PlayStation fucking BFF, you know.
Right.
So, but with that being said, it's time to transition here to our we're talking about rights and stuff. We're going to go into our article of the week. So I heard this on the news. I heard this on a podcast. When I heard about this, I was like, this shit's unreal. So, and I know we love, I don't want to say beat up on the vegans. I know usually when we talk about vegans, we've gotten some responses, some emails about it. But this is from a Fox News website. Vegan mom sentenced to life in prison for son's death from severe malnutrition. Florida vegan mom Shayla O'Leary was convicted in June while her husband awaits trial. And she got her baby died. He was 18. And when they went to check up on him,
18 months.
Sorry. He was a baby. He died of what they're calling severe complications from severe malnutrition and dehydration. And there were strict vegans. And only basically what the kid ate was breast milk and fruits and vegetables. So raw fruits and vegetables. And she has other kids, too, ages 11, 5, and 3. And they also all suffer from extreme neglect and child abuse. It's a little vague there. I don't know what they consider child abuse. Is that they're only feeding them vegan food or, like, fruits and vegetables or something? The article doesn't really clarify that. And her husband is still waiting for his sentence. So with that being said, I mean, I have a child now. Danny has kids. Noelle, I mean, I know you follow your diets. We all have gone through our health phase. But when it comes to this, I mean, when it comes to your children and you read this stuff, I don't know. I think they should have been more responsible. But, I mean, you can't. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I obviously the kid was malnourished. I mean, but I feel like
I think the life sentence,
that's
age,
a little rage. Yeah.
Well, it's because at that young of an age, it's possible he's not able to process all the food that they were giving him, all the, you know, all the different vegetables and fruit and stuff. Who knows what was going on behind the scenes? It says here the child did not eat. He was starved to death over 18 months. It's crazy to see something like that, man. Like, as a, I'm not a parent myself, but I have nephews and nieces, and I'd be horrified to find out something like this happened to them, you know. And, you know, thank God my brothers, and they're all good parents, and so they take care of their kids well. And, you know, maybe the diet's not on point, super good, but, you know, they do the best they can. And to see something like this, it's like, it's crazy, man. It really frustrates me, because somebody's ideology, that's fine for them to have it. Okay. But a kid needs to grow up, like, I guess, the traditional way, the normal way, you know, with a balanced diet. Like, you don't want to give them any specialized diet unless a doctor says it, you know, like, oh, they have a peanut allergy. Well, avoid peanuts, you know. So that's one thing. But to, like, be like, no, I don't want you to eat meat because I feel this type of way about this type of thing. It's like, that's not up to you. Like, they need to have a balanced diet to grow up healthy.
Right. Well, and it's not only just no meat. It's no dairy, no cheese, because they're vegans. So they're not vegetarians or vegans. So to me, I get what these parents were going through, because if that's really what they believe, like veganism is like the way to be, then what they were feeding their kid, that is what their diet is. So they were trying to keep the kid whole or natural or whatever their thought process was. Now, to me, I would have done what they were doing, but in conjunction with speaking with a dietitian to make sure that I'm not producing that much breast milk. What can I subsidize with that weight? Or I'm doing this. What can I do with that? And then monitoring the kid's weight, obviously, until he gets older and is able to eat a better variety of food. But the other thing that the article mentions is that the kid weighed 17 pounds when he passed away, 18 months.
Yeah, that's bad.
I don't know, man. I know in little years, you know, when they're young, it's a lot, but an average weight of an 18-month-old is supposed to be like 23 pounds. So I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but in a young age, that's a lot. You know, every pound counts. And I know, especially if your kid is kind of on the thinner side, people get excited for gaining 0.5 pounds, and they'll be like, holy shit, cool, man, we're doing good, a little bit more. And they'll strive for as many as they can get. So, yeah, I kind of understand the people's thought as far as trying to keep them whole, thinking dairy is evil, thinking cheese is evil, meat's evil, and all that good stuff. Well, I mean, I don't mind it, but I mean, I could understand that these people have that thought process. So I respect that, but I would have done it with the help of a medical person. I would assume these people have medical people that have their same ideologists, and I would go visit them and be like, my child is not the first child being raised as a vegan. What steps do I have to do to make sure that this child is, you know, going to grow healthy and not pass away after 18 months?
Well, Dan, if you take even with a doctor, I mean, any fucking doctor would tell, well, you need to feed this kid. I mean, like milk. I mean, he's 18 months, so he could eat more. I mean, but he would tell you he needs to eat more than this. Like, he needs more protein and all this other stuff. But
well, it depends, because there are doctors that believe in a vegan lifestyle and will
hippies, man.
Right, regardless of who they are.
With supplements, and right. A child shouldn't be able to take supplements, like a vitamin. Are you gonna give them vitamin like pills? Like, it's a kid, you know. So.
That's where I don't know. I don't know enough about it. I don't know any parents that are like super power vegans or anything like that, like this hyper veganism. So I'm not really sure what they would do to subsidize stuff like that with an infant. But I do know.
I mean, Dan, I hear you. Just look at like in
Hey, I think these parents are evil. I'm not trying to defend them.
No, no, I get it.
I'm just trying to respect their wishes. You're going and their down beliefs.
Like a slippery slope here because look in the. I mean, we're all Mexican, the Hispanic community. You see what these kids take to lunch.
Latinx. And
Latinx, if you're woke like Danny here. they're fucking got Takis and fucking Cheetos like a motherfucker. They don't eat like nothing else. And right. Like, damn, would it kid you to buy this? Kill you to buy this kid some apple or give it to him? But they're like, nah, that's what they, you know, it's the easy thing to do. And I know being, it's a little bit more challenging, but. It's like two extremes. I mean, but granted, I mean, have you heard of kids dying from eating Cheetos all the time? I saw some video. A guy says, "Oh, he eats."
Yeah, obesity like and diabetes, heart disease. That's
not from Cheetos, man.
I mean, yeah. I'm sure the Cheetos helped a little bit.
If you control the calories, I think you'd be all right, man. But I seen a video where a guy, oh, he eats his mac and cheese three times a day for like 20 years. And he wasn't fat, but I'm assuming like, that's not healthy either, you know?
I'm just saying that I would assume that there are naturalist people out there that are vegans and that these aren't the first parents to have a baby that's vegan. So I'm sure there's been hundreds and millions of kids that were raised in this diet. It's just that these people are yokels or I don't know what their problem was, that they didn't have a circle around them to support this baby and raise them in whatever beliefs that they have. I mean, they're Amish people that don't eat Big Macs and don't eat all this other junk food, but they have a circle of community that help raise their kids in their lifestyle with their style of foods that they believe in.
That's why I'm saying, like, I agree with you. It's something that is part of them and they want to show their kids, but somehow, like, even when they went to look at their other kids, they considered them malnourished, but they also worked child abuse, which is like pretty fucking vague to me. Like, well, what does that mean? Like,
right, that could be anything. Sure.
Or did they beat them or did they like yell at them? Like, that's where I'm just like, it's a little bit too vague. But I'm interested to know, like, what's going to happen to their other kids. And are they going to keep, like, in the family? Are they going to go to the foster system, you know, foster care? Because, I don't know, like, to be, like, that hardcore vegan, they chose that, I mean, as adults. But to put that on a child, like, I get it, it's their kid. And obviously something went wrong, or maybe something was the kid never really developed because they were only feeding them this stuff. I mean, I don't know. There's going to be a lot of things, but like it's, but I personally think, yeah, the parents fucked up because that's what the state's blaming. If they're saying he's malnourished. I mean, he wasn't getting what he was supposed to daily.
Yeah. The thing is too, is as a kid, like, there's only some, their digestive systems are still developing, you know, like you're not able to digest the same way a human, like an adult human would, you know? So
right.
Certain vegetables and stuff have certain toxins that to an adult is like negligible. Like it's like not even anything. Like frijoles, for example, pinto beans, there's certain toxins in it. And if you don't cook it right, it could like mess up your stomach for a bit.
How you know, you probably, sir.
No, I'm serious. Like, look it up. They're
beans are good,
they're,
man. Who they ever kill?
Well, they're healthy. They're healthy if you cook them right. You
and
know?
You fry them right, yeah.
You're not gonna eat them raw and all that. That'll probably cause you some damage, you know. Right. Just imagine swallowing just a little handful of pencil beans, just like that. Like, I'm pretty sure that's not gonna be good. Usually, there's a process. You clean them, right? Like, you water them. You put water.
The piedras out. Yeah.
And then you clean them, right? Like, you kind of like scrub it around a little bit. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's because you're trying to take off like, I don't know, dirt and like pesticides and, you know, chemicals and shit. And I don't know to the extent of all the details of how they fed the kid, but there's more to it than just being vegan. Like there's.
Yeah, it's a headline. It's a clickbait headline. I'll give you that. Right. And then you read the article and then you're like, okay. And they give some details. And then like, obviously they said that he was given breast milk. So he needed that, right? And like that's any baby or some type of formula. And then, but what was their like routine, their schedule, his feeding? Like, that's what I want to know. Because to me, if that's not, maybe it wasn't just this, it's just they weren't being attentive to that child and giving him his like daily feeding thing. And that's why maybe, and then it just that all came about and the kid was malnourished and he died. Complications from that.
That's what I think. It's probably a huge combination of things, because there's a lot of vegans out there that don't even deal with certain lifestyle things that people get. Like, they won't wear shoes because it's made out of leather and it kills cows and shit like that. So they only use like sandals and some other goofy shit. And there's some vegans that are like, there's some vegans that are hardcore. They only wear hemp clothes because, you know, this and that is, you know, harmful. So it really depends on their extremism of what they believe into. And maybe it was a combination of a ton of things. Maybe they didn't have blankets for the kid. Maybe they're like, here, we'll just give you this bean sack because, you know, this is our belief. And the kid half froze to death. Plus, he was starving. Plus, he had this. Plus, he had that. Maybe he was asthmatic. And then maybe he had a few other conditions. And it could be a combination of things. But I think you're right. I think the way the article portrays it, it's just this one single portion of it. It really should have gone into more details of what the investigators found in their household. Was it colder than typical temperatures? Was it, dirty and it wasn't being cleaned up and there was feces on the corner because they don't believe in indoor plumbing and, you know, shit like that. You know, all that stuff could contribute into a kid's poor health.
You know, like I've never met a vegan. I dated a vegetarian and when I went to her house, all she was eating a lot of veggie Subway sandwiches and a lot of Snicker bars. So I don't know. It was like, to me, this isn't like the most healthy diet either, but I don't know, man. Like, everybody teach their own. I get it. And I know vegans are a little bit, they're like a level above vegetarian. And then I know there's levels within veganism. And yeah, I don't know what, going back to the article, when they are, what they were following, I should say.
Yeah, I've heard of food allergies as well, so I'm kind of leaning more towards that. I think, especially as a child, like at that age, they're not going to be able to process every single fruit and vegetable that exists. Even adults, to some extent, can't process every fruit and vegetable that exists.
Corn's a rough one to process.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why it'll still come out and shit.
And there's only people that carnivore diet where all they eat is just like fucking non-processed meat, you know? And like, that's, to me, like, it's good. It's just another whole fucking level of like, this is a lot. Like, and like, but they claim they have like, you know, diabetes, they lose weight and all this other stuff. But long-term, is that healthy? I don't know. I personally don't think so. It helps you lose weight, of course. And you go into that ketosis thing, but it long-term is... That's fucking rough.
Yeah, I personally just try to get a balanced diet. I try to focus more on chicken and fish than beef, but I try to include a little bit of everything. So,
yeah, I think everybody brings up a lot of good points, and I think it could be a combination of a lot of things. But everybody out there, let us know your thoughts on this. But I think that's it for this episode, man. I'd like to thank everybody out there for listening, taking the time of downloading our episodes, taking the time to send in emails. We really appreciate it. All that stuff doesn't go unseen. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. Well, just Twitter right now, I guess. But yeah, follow us.
We're working on it.
Yeah, Andy's working on the Facebook part. Send in those questions and suggestions, ffnquestions@gmail.com. Visit our webpage, freeformnetwork.podbean.com. There you're going to see all of our links for everything that we have active. We lost a few places that got eaten up by bigger companies, and we gained a few, man. We're on Amazon Music. We're on Pandora. We're on a few Spotify. Other new Spotify, Stitcher. We're on a few other nice spots, man. Come out there, check us out. Hit that like and subscribe button wherever you're listening. We really appreciate that as well. But for Freeform Radio, we got Noel.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. Focus on your health and stay well.
And we got Andy.
It's all good, Andy. And choose what to eat. Choose what you want to eat, man. Just be smart about it. And Catch you next week.
Yeah, and I'm Daniel. I'm going to choose to go eat some chicken wings because it's football. I'm going to go watch the Bears. And unlike Andy, 1-0 first week, man. Nah. Bears taking it. Thank you all for listening. We'll discuss it. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time.
That was cool, Dad.